Welcome to the People's Baptist Hour, heard weekly here on WOTC, winning others to Christ. This service is coming to you from People's Baptist Church in Harrisonburg, Virginia, with Pastor Richard Forsythe. We pray that God will use today's message to touch your heart, and if we can be of any help to you spiritually, please call area code 540-434-6554. Now let's join the service.
Quiet knocking at Bethlehem's doorways, searching for shelter, a mother and child. Send to a stable, a manger, his cradle, for none would make room for the King.
Amen. Wasn't that a blessing?
Amen.
The Hanger brothers, Mr. Caleb and Micah, good to have him back from school for a day. He goes back today, I think, doesn't he?
and Luke. What a blessing they are. Amen.
Amen.
All the music's been a blessing.
Amen.
By the way, you've been a blessing. Singing, being a part, thank you for being here. Trust the Lord will bless us as we gather in this place to worship Him, to honor Him, to lift Him up. Good to see Pastor Jones and his wife with us from Ohio. Good friends of ours. Come and see us when they get in this part of the country.
Sure.
The Lord bless you. Good to see you folks. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you will, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Question for you. Are you bearing your cross? Are you bearing your cross? Do you bear the cross of Christ in this world? We'll talk about the cross today. Again, looking at Matthew chapter 16, we'll read verses 21 through 24. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from you, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and he said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but things that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, this is our key verse. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Pray with me. Our Father, we thank you for your love for us, your blessings upon us, for this Lord's Day that you've given to us. Set aside that we, your people, may assemble to remember you, to sing praises to you, to lift you up and thank you for your many blessings to us. We ask you to work in our hearts and our lives. We pray the Holy Spirit's power would work in us. You bless the Word of God as we look at it and consider the cross of Jesus Christ. We pray for every person that you'd open up their hearts and their minds to the great truth of what it is to be a Christian, what it is to bear the cross, and how we are to bear the cross just as Christ did into the world. We pray that you'd help us, speak to us. We pray for those that may not know our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of their salvation. We ask you to bless now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Missionaries were speaking to Mahatma Gandhi, the Prime Minister of India. And they were talking to him about Christianity and what it meant to be a Christian. And he asked this question to them. He said, "What hymn would you suggest to me which summarizes what you believe?" Those missionaries consulted for a few minutes, and then they gave this answer: "When I survey the wondrous cross." When I survey the wondrous cross. John G. Mantle, he said this: "There's a great difference. There's a great difference in realizing, understanding, that on the cross he was crucified for me, and understanding that on that cross, on the cross, I am crucified with him. That's a concept we lose. He was crucified for us, but we too are crucified with him. His crucifixion for you delivers you from the condemnation of sin. Your crucifixion with him delivers you from the power of sin. Amen?
Amen.
The cross comes in full view at Caesarea Philippi in verse 13. When Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And from that point on, Jesus set his face toward Calvary and toward the cross. The cross was the theme of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross was his supreme passion. And from that time forth, Jesus told his disciples, verse 21, from that time forth, Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer there, and he must be killed there. If you remember from Matthew chapter 4 through chapter 16 of Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ was presenting to the Jews the kingdom of God, and that he was the Messiah, the promised one. So from Matthew 4, chapter 4, verse through chapter 16, Christ was preaching the kingdom of God. He was explaining and expanding its principles. He was explaining and illustrating its operations. He set forth its promises in parables, in miracles, in argument, and instruction. Now at Caesarea, Jesus tests the results of his preaching and his teaching. In verse 13, he questions his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Now they answer in verse 14 saying, "Well, he mentioned some of the prophets. This is who people think you are." Then came the important question, "Whom say you that I am?" Whom say you that I am? Now, this poses a direct question to you today. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who is Jesus Christ to you? Now, again, we go back to Peter's answer in verse 16. "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Christ has now finished his work of preaching and teaching the kingdom of God. That's now finished. That's been accomplished. They had received his message. They understood him now to be the Son of God. They understood him now to be the promised Messiah. So now the theme changes. The theme changes from Messiah and the kingdom of God to the cross. To the cross. Now they must learn the necessity of the cross. Now he must teach them what the cross really means, the necessity of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, what we know as good news, what we know is the gospel of Jesus Christ, the greatest message in the world. They are to learn of their own responsibility to that cross, to their own responsibility to that cross of shame. It was a cross of shame. He tells them in verse 24, and this is our text. He tells them in verse 24, "Those who follow me," those who are saved Those who receive Jesus Christ as Savior, those who accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, those who are made new creatures in Jesus Christ, been saved and born again, they are to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Him. They are to deny themselves, take up their cross and follow Him. As a Christian, as a believer, as a follower of Christ, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are to sacrifice yourself. You are to suffer. And you are even to die for the cause of Jesus Christ.
It's true.
Do you believe that?
Yeah.
I think that's what Jesus is telling you here. You are to sacrifice yourself. You are to suffer. And if necessary, you are to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's taking up the cross and following Him. You are to take up your cross and follow the Lord. Why should you do that? Let me give you some reasons why. Reason number one. You are to take up your cross and follow Him. Why? Because the cross is the only foundation for the Christian life. The cross is the only foundation for the Christian life. The cross is not just an object. It's not just a symbol of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross is and means an experience of the soul. It means a change of the soul, a change of the mind, a change of the heart. The cross is the saving power to change a sinful life into the life of a saint. I read where evangelist D.L. Moody said that he was once accosted on a Chicago street by a drunk man who exclaimed as he went by, "Aren't you Mr. Moody? Why, I'm one of your converts." Moody said this. He replied, "Well, that must be true, for you surely are not one of the Lord's converts." You see, the gospel promises not only forgiveness of sins, but also a new life.
That's right.
A new creation, a new way to go, a new path to follow. When a person receives this new life, his or her life changes. And they now live the life of bearing the cross of Jesus Christ. Consider Peter's response to this truth of the cross in verse 22. Peter begs the Lord to spare himself. He begs the Lord to escape and turn away from the cross. And Jesus responds, "You are of the devil. You are an offense to me. You are not concerned," that means to be mindful or devoted to the things of God, "but to the things of men." Jesus rebukes Peter because the cross is the central and universal condition to enter into the kingdom of God. Listen, the essence of worldliness and the devil's temptations is this. That is to live a life that is self-serving.
Right.
That is to live a life that is self-shielding. That is to live a life that is self-seeking. Living a life that spares yourself. Spare yourself is the sum of many Christians. Spare yourself is the sum of the world. Spell yourself, take care of yourself, protect yourself is the devil's philosophy of life. But not the Christians. Not those who bear their cross. Again, they're not to spare themselves. They are to sacrifice themselves. They're not to spare themselves. They are to suffer. They're not to spare themselves. They are to die if necessary for the cause of Jesus Christ. The doctrine of the cross and the kingdom of God is sacrificing self to the cause of Jesus Christ. To sacrifice yourself for the cross. So note this. To shirk the cross is to miss out on the kingdom of God. To deny the cross and shirk the cross is to miss out on the kingdom of God. Not only would Jesus sacrifice himself, but so must everyone that follows him. And that's the lesson of our text. Those who follow me are to take up their cross and come after me and follow me. They are to take up the cross of Christ. They are to bear the gospel. They're to carry it not only into their lives and have it affect their lives, but they're to take it into the world. That's the last words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. Go ye. Get out from your comfort. Get out from your places where you enjoy yourselves and go into the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. His last words. So a Christian is to take up the cross, the gospel, and carry it, not only in their lives, but into the world. The world must, in verse 21, must, in verse 21. Jesus said, I must go. The word must in verse 21 is to be applied to verse 24. It's an imperative and a command that we must take up our cross and follow him. We must follow after him. Note what Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 27. He said, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after him cannot be my disciple, Jesus said. You've got to bear the cross. You've got to take up your cross and follow me, or you cannot be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, these are his words. So note them. They're critical, are they not? The cross is the only foundation for the Christian life. Secondly, take up your cross and follow the Lord. Why? Because of what the cross represents. What does the cross stand for? You know, many people see the cross only as a symbol of a philosophy of religion, a symbol of peace, a symbol of the Christian religion, which knows not the offense of the cross. Really don't understand what he's teaching here and what he's saying. To some, the cross is just a symbol that means nothing more than a reluctant obedience to a disagreeable duty. Some see the symbol of the cross that it speaks of grudging self-denial of some desirable habit that they have. To some, the symbol of the cross represents something to be tolerated rather than a joyous, fulfilled life. The point is, the cross stands for definite realities. What are those definite realities that the cross stands for? The cross stands for the reality of people being lost in sin, of people being trapped in the bondage of sin, of people being separated from God. That's the reality of the cross. The reality of the cross is the reality of a transformed life, where a person becomes a new creature in Jesus Christ, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's what the cross stands for. The reality of the cross is the very essence of the kingdom of God, amen, as we've just described. It's the only way to be part of the kingdom of God. The reality of the cross is that it is an altar of sacrifice. It is an altar of sacrifice. It stands for sacrifice. It stands for death. It stands for suffering. That's what it means. That's what it symbolizes. The reality of the cross is that it expresses vicarious service. What's vicarious means? On behalf of others. Service on behalf of others. The reality of the cross, what's it stand for? We serve Jesus Christ, but we also serve others. The reality of the cross is that it is evidence of an alien power in the world. When you see the cross, when people see the cross, it is evidence of an alien power in the world. God, it stands for God. It stands for salvation. It stands for holiness. It stands for godliness. It stands for heaven. It stands for hell. That's the reality of the cross. Roman Emperor Diocletian, he declared Christianity, the cross, to be an alien power. And he vowed to destroy it. He failed. The cross is an altar of sacrifice, not only for the Lord Jesus Christ, but for Christians as well. Yep. Missionary David Brainerd, he died before he was 30 years old. He ministered to the American Indians, and he wrote these words in his journal. He said this, and I quote, "I never got away from Jesus and him crucified. When my people, that is the Indians, were gripped by this truth, this great truth of Christ and him crucified, I did not have to give them more instructions on morality. I found they followed the sacrifice of the cross. They put on garments of holiness when they possessed the doctrine of the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ." It changes lives, doesn't it? Jesus made clear the truths of what the cross stands for. In Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, the Lord Jesus Christ had three visitors. They came to him one day. So one came to Jesus and he said this, "I will follow you wherever you go." You remember Jesus' words and his answer to him? He said, "I want to tell you this. Birds and animals have places of rest and security. Me, I have no place to lay my head. I have no place of rest. And I have no place of security." For as we know, the man did not follow him. Second person came and he said this, "I will follow you, but let me bury my father first." What was his answer to him? Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead." Preaching the cross is more important than earthly affairs. True?
Yes.
Third person came to him. He said, "I will follow thee, but let me say goodbye to my family and make arrangements before I go." You remember Jesus' words to that response? Jesus said, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God." You see, the cross stands for sacrifice, commitment to follow Jesus Christ no matter what. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus said this, "If any man come before me and puts his family before me, he cannot be my disciple." That's strong stuff, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Ain't that pretty tough? Pretty hard. But that's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. Take up your cross. Kingdom of God, Lord Jesus Christ, salvation, the gospel is the most important thing in your life. It's to come first in everything. He then states, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 39, he said, he that loves father, mother, son, daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He that finds, that means concentrates upon his life, shall lose it. He that puts his life first and concentrates upon his life first is going to lose his life. But he that loses, that is, gives up his life for my sake, shall find life. To abandon your life for him. Take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says, to those who follow him. To those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. To those who are Christians. To those who are believers. Take up your cross and follow me. What's the cross to you? What is the cross to you? Do you think of it? Do you bear it every day? What's the cross to you? Is it just a symbol? Or is it the reality of your life that you're a cross bearer as a believer? There was a group of missionary college students. They were visiting South America on a missions trip. The South American instructor was telling them, as they were about to go on the field and go out into the area and to minister, he said this. The South American said, you've seen many crosses in our land. Every church spire has one. Public buildings have crosses all over them. Even in the rooms of our houses are decorated with a cross. And he made this statement to those students. He said, it is your job as Christians to get the cross off of the church towers and into the hearts of the people. We're to get the cross into the hearts of the people. His meaning was, the cross is not merely a Christian symbol, but is the way of salvation. It is the way of heaven. It is the way to not go to hell. It is a way to know God. It is a way to have the blessings of God. It is not merely an ornamental device. The cross is the only hope of mankind. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, Christian? The cross is the only hope of mankind.
Right.
How do you see the cross today? Do you think about cross today? You cannot be my disciples unless you take up your cross and follow me. What do you think of the cross? How do you bear the cross? What's your response to the cross? Maybe it has something to do with these verses I'm going to share with you as we close. Maybe taking up the cross has something to do with James chapter 4, verse 8. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us this. Draw nigh to God. And what? And he will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Maybe that's what we need to do today, to take up our cross and be what we should be spiritually. Draw nigh to God. Draw close to Him and He will draw close to you. Cleanse your hands. Get whatever's wrong in your life out of your life. Purify your hearts. Make sure your heart is good and clean before the Lord. And don't be double-minded. Bearing your cross would also include, I believe, obeying these following verses. Let me give you five verses. Psalm 63:1. Psalm 63:1 tells you to read the Bible. Read your Bible. How's your Bible reading? How's your Bible study? How much time do you spend in the Word of God? Psalm 63:1 deals with Bible reading. Early will I seek thee, it says. Early will I seek thee. Early will I spend time with the Lord. Second verse, Luke 18:1, talks about prayer. Prayer. Men ought always to pray and not faint. The Word of God. Prayer is part of bearing our cross. Hebrews 10:25. Talks about faithfully attending the church. Not forsaking yourselves together, or not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, exhorting one another. I think that would help us bear the cross, right? The Bible, prayer, church. All that's important to a Christian to be right with God. The fourth one is Proverbs 11:30. What does that deal with? It deals with soul winning.
Right.
Something is not being done by most Christians today and most churches today.
True.
Soul winning. It's something that's kind of old and out of style, apparently. Soul winning. You know what it says in that passage? The fruit of the righteous. Now, those who bear the cross are the righteous, amen. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. What's that mean? It is a fruit-bearing tree. Christians, those righteous, are to be fruit bearers. You're to bear fruit. You make all the excuses you want. But God very clearly tells you, you're to reproduce yourself. Soul winning. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, a fruit-bearing tree. And he that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
He that winneth souls is wise. Then Ephesians 5:18 talks about being filled with the power of God, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. If every Christian took up his cross and followed the Lord and obeyed these verses we just shared, we'd have to build new church buildings. Brother, we'd have to expand them. We would grow like we couldn't believe if we would pick up our cross, take up our cross and follow Him. If every Christian did that, what did Jesus say? Take up your cross and follow me. Let's stand for prayer, if you would, please. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. We'll ask the instruments to begin to play. And as they do, if God has spoken to you about taking up the cross like you should, and follow Jesus Christ like you should, come to this altar and ask God to help you if you're not doing that. To help you if you need the power of God, the strength of God to serve Him. Come to the altar and say, Lord, help me take up my cross and be what I need to be for you.
We trust that God used today's message to work in your life. If you are unsure of where you'll spend eternity, Don't let another day go by without getting the answer. If we can be of spiritual help, please call area code 540-434-6554.